This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We'll get started in 3 minutes. Say salam, where you're from, and we'll get started in 3 minutes. Salams and where you're from. Alaykum as-salam. We got Sadaf, alaykum as-salam, Sadaf. Nurin, alaykum as-salam, Rabina, alaykum as-salam. California and Bangladesh. Kausar, Michigan, alaykum as-salam. Milgo, thanks for tuning in all the time, Milgo. Alaykum as-salam. Parveen, first VIP in the challenge. Jazakallah khairan. Shiraz in Karachi, alaykum as-salam. Trisha, alaykum as-salam. Rahila in Pakistan, alaikum assalam. Khadija in Toronto, alaikum assalam. Maham in Connecticut, alaikum assalam. Rubina Siddiqui, hey, this is cool. This is Rubina Siddiqui, alaikum assalam. And this is, okay, you guys, wait for this. Rubina Pervez, alaikum assalam. We got two Rabinas. The little things in life. We got Omar in Bristol. Hey, Omar, so here's a story about Bristol. Every time I hear the word Bristol or the name Bristol or the city Bristol, I remember an English textbook. I used to teach English when I was like 20 years old. And in the English book, it had two people talking, and they're on this train. And the person says, "Where are you from?" And the person says in response, "I'm from Bristol." So I'm like, Bristol. So every time I hear Bristol, I remember those good old English, learning English books. So alaykum assalam, Bristol. We got Amira in Malaysia. Alhamdulillah, the nice thing about this timing is the Malaysian people can tune in at the same time. Malaysia is always tuning in at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Everybody in the world is doing this to Malaysia, but alhamdulillah, this time, nice and calm. Zahinzel. I use Restream. It's called Restream. So it allows me to stream to Facebook groups and Facebook page and YouTube and Periscope, Twitter. The Instagram doesn't work very well. If Instagram could be connected to this, it would be perfect, but it doesn't. But it's called Restream. Aisha in California, alaikum assalam. Fartoon in Minnesota. This is cool. So Amira is having breakfast now instead of gluing my eyes in the bed sheets. Okay, listen, tell me, what are you having for breakfast? What does a Malaysian breakfast consist of? I have thoughts of like some curry and meat and some roti or something like that. Or is it just eggs and coffee? Fartoon in Minnesota, Allah keep you guys safe. Alaykum assalam. All right, after we find out what's for breakfast in Malaysia, then we'll get started. Oh yeah, we got the Philippines. Are you in the Philippines, Alman, or are you from the Philippines? If you are in the Philippines right now, that's cool. But if you're from the Philippines, it's also cool. Some people having breakfast, some people having iftar. We will get started in 1 minute. And how long in 1 minute? Okay, here we found out. We can start now with a clear heart. Amira says, well, typically it's roti and curry. So I was right, roti and curry for breakfast. Nasi lemak. Today I'm having bread and cheese. And for Crimean, yes. Yes. I won't comment about it. All right, this is cool. Now we can begin again. Almen is in and from the Philippines. Both in and from the Philippines. Inshallah, one day I'd like to visit the Philippines. All right, let's begin. Pick one. Take one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man walah. Amma ba'd. For those who have taken classes with me before, maybe I spoke about this. One second. I've spoken about this before, and that is for the longest time in the world, I've had trouble going to sleep at night. Insomnia, and this is like, you know what? I think it's almost my whole life. Probably when I was a little kid, it wasn't the case, but ever since like high school or something like that, good 20 years. I've had 20 years, yes, 20 years, had problems going to sleep at night and therefore waking up for Fajr. If you have problems going to sleep at night, especially when Fajr comes in the summertime, Fajr might come in at like 4 o'clock, 4:30. If you go to sleep at 2 o'clock, that's 2 hours sleeping. Then you got to wake back up, and that's every single day. It's very intense, and it doesn't work out most of the time. And I had a lot of problems with this, but I attended this event, and the event was focused on taking action. So not just, you know, most classes that you attend, you're encouraged to write notes and have a binder, and then you go home and maybe some of it sticks in your head, but most of it doesn't, let's be honest. Good 90%, it just gets forgotten until you review it a couple of years later and you're like, wow, that was good information. I wish I had done something with it. This event was different. This event was like, you're going to take action. So my goal was to wake up for Fajr, and then I said, so what action could I take? And the action that I thought of was, well, why don't I get a wake-up buddy? A wake-up buddy. And this is someone, this is like, I had this idea, you know how you might call somebody to wake them up for Fajr? I had the opposite idea. I call it like a Fajr celebration. Somebody you call after you've prayed Fajr to share the good news that you've woken up. Almost like a check-in after the fact. So you're not calling and you're not calling this person to them and wake them up out of their sleep. And the issue is, hey, let's make this positive. Let's celebrate this after we've woken up for Fajr. So the person that I chose to be my Fajr party celebrator partner was my nephew. And I know you guys, you don't hear me talking about my nephews and my nieces and stuff like that. I don't have too many of them. But this was many years ago, and he was a young boy at that time. And I asked him, I said, you know what, I want to be your Fajr wake-up partner. So, and he said, okay. And normally, you know, my nephew is in another country, another city, whatever. I don't have a very strong bond with my nephew, but this is something that I did and I chose him. So this is what happened. So that next day, I woke up for Fajr, and it was really hard. It was like I said, I always have this insomnia, and I go to sleep late, and it was just another day. You know, every day you go to sleep, you tell yourself, I'll do better today, and it's the same old, right? So I did wake up, alhamdulillah, for Fajr, but I was really groggy. I went in the bathroom, and maybe kind of like Nokia phones, and there was a red blinking light on the phone. I said, that red blinking light wasn't there when I went and to make wudu, and now it's there. And before I prayed, I went to my messages on the phone and I voicemail. Remember those days when people send voicemail? It was a voicemail message. And it was the young, groggy sound of my nephew, who was a young boy at that time. Let me try to think how old he was. He might have been 12 years old. He might have been 12 years old at that time. Actually, maybe even younger than that. And this was the message. He said to me in the voicemail, he said, Ammo or Khalu. He said, Khalu, I just wanted to let you know that I woke up for Fajr. And subhanAllah, as I was preparing to tell you guys of, you know, today's topic, this little moment in time, like it's a long time ago, it was like more than 10 years ago, more than how many years? It's maybe like more than 15 years ago. But subhanAllah, I realized then that when I take action, it benefits other people too. That not only am I going to be the one that's going to benefit, but relationships and family, other people benefit from us taking action. So this idea of I didn't want my events to just be about consuming information and then stockpiling it. I wanted the information to lead to taking action. Now let's look at Ramadan. Okay, so Ramadan comes and we tell ourselves we don't have time to read Quran. We tell ourselves we're not able to fast Mondays, Thursdays, let alone every single day. We tell ourselves that I don't have time to wake up in the middle of the night and pray. Normally, all throughout the year, it might be the entire year, we don't get to do these things. But then Ramadan comes and proves to us that our thoughts are just made up. Our thoughts are just made up. Because we say we don't have time for a Quran, but in Ramadan, like we finish the entire Quran and we're reading all the time. We say we don't have time to pray Qiyam or can't wake up. And in Ramadan, we're like waking up every night, all night long with all these plans and so on. We tell ourselves, oh, I can't fast Mondays, Thursdays, and Ramadan comes along and we fast every single day for 30 days. So Ramadan proves to us that we have more potential than what we've set out to. But what is the metaphor for Ramadan? Like I've said in a couple of the in the lectures, I've said a lot of people think Ramadan is like a guest. And I said the problem with that analogy or that metaphor is a guest comes and leaves and you go back to your normal life. And I don't think that Ramadan, that's not what the intention is for. Guest is an analogy if you're talking about cleaning up your heart. But I say that the analogy for Ramadan is like a career college. A career college where you are trained in a career college to do something outside of Ramadan. To do something outside of Ramadan. So all this taqwa, all this time that you have, all this Quran, the Taraweeh, and all this, you know, holding your tongue, not backbiting, all of these things, you want to take it outside of Ramadan. So Ramadan comes to an end, and we have this window of, we have this bubble or a balloon of productivity and benefit, and we can do a lot of good things. But as we all know, we tend to go back to our old habits. Inshallah ta'ala, the balloon doesn't go all the way down, but we tend to go back to our old habits, and that all that time that we were awake at night, now we can't do anything at night. All that time we were reading Quran, and let me know in the comments if you agree. Have you like, has the productivity, the output decreased with you? Has it decreased? All this Quran that we're reading now, we're not even like opening the mushaf, the fasting. It's like, wow, all of these things. So there's a window, and I'd say it's about 3 weeks, and we're almost hitting like the 3 weeks to close down. So we know it's possible that we can do it, and we have this window where if we don't, we're going to be filling up this extra time with something. We need to do something productive. Share with you kind of like the thought process behind it is a post Ramadan 5-day challenge. So we've done we're doing this program called the post Ramadan 5-day challenge, and what it is for 5 days We're going to use this window of power that we've got, this power of time, this power that Ramadan has given us, this training, this vocational training, that now we want to take that, we want to implement it and take action. You might say, take action on what? I would tell you, take action on the du'as that you've been making in Ramadan, if anything. So in Ramadan, it's like Laylatul Qadr, it's the decree for the upcoming year. And so you made du'as for things in the hereafter and for this dunya. And for those dunya things that you want to take action on, now is the time to take action on it. And so in this 5-day challenge that we're going to be doing, I'm going to be giving you guys techniques and motivation, and we're going to be in a big group of people taking action on the things that we made du'a for in Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. So yes, that is the post-Ramadan 5-day challenge. If you go to post-Ramadan, you know what? Let me type it as a caption here. The post-Ramadan 5-day challenge. The post-Ramadan 5-day challenge. And the cool thing about this post-Ramadan challenge is how much it costs. That's the cool thing. That it only costs $1 to join. Obviously, it's for commitment to get into this group, to be part of this excitement, inshallah ta'ala. It shouldn't take anything from your mind. Just jump in the post-Ramadan 5-day challenge. It actually was launched yesterday, or if you say like 12 hours ago. So if you're in this zone and you want to take action on the things you made du'a for in Ramadan, then let's get busy, the post-Ramadan 5-day challenge. I like this. Iman says, how much for this class? $1. $1. And that's it. Allahu alam. Any questions? Taking action. We're talking about taking action after Ramadan. We're talking about this window that closes after Ramadan of productivity and taking action on that. What are your thoughts? What would you like to ask? It's a post-Ramadan. That's funny. Crimean says that the transfer fee is higher than the course. What can you get for $1? You can get the post-Ramadan 5-day challenge. Trisha says, did you post the link? The link is, I didn't post it in the comments because there's different places that the comments are going to because I'm broadcasting to different things. But yeah, it's on the screen. Post Ramadan 5-day challenge. Inshallah ta'ala, this is going to get stuck in your head, the post Ramadan 5-day challenge. Tanya says, can we do anything to benefit others? Tanya, can you explain what you mean by that question? Can we do anything to benefit others? Rubina, if you go to the website, you'll find the days and time. I'm actually not sure. Nurin says, really want to join. Nurin, this is your chance, $1. Tina Leroy says, what's up? Nothing much. So for people asking about the date, so the actual classes, when they happen, the actual 5-day challenge is coming up in a few days. So, but right now we are, people are registering, we're going to get the word out, inshallah ta'ala. And the Facebook group that's kicked off for this is actually already just started. So you can still benefit and introduce yourself and meet other people and all of those things. That's happening now. But when we actually begin the 5-day challenge, where I'm going to be doing the daily lectures and motivation and giving daily challenges, that's happening in about 5 days from now, I believe. Can we do anything to benefit others by attending this class? Tanya says, can we do anything to benefit others by attending this class? So what you're saying, Tanya, is you got life done. Everything's working out great for you. Yes. And you're like, I will take a class so long as it can benefit other people. Why don't those other people take the class then? Why don't you encourage them to take the class? Cut out the middleman. Anybody got a question or a question, comment, anything you want to discuss? Masam Lubna in Toronto. Let me check the dates of the actual post Ramadan 5-day challenge. It starts June 15. It starts June 15. Actually, it started now. Like I said, the group's already begun and people are piling in, but it starts 15. Aisha's question says, how is the exclusive group of this class different from Dreamwalker? So Aisha, this is just a 5-day challenge. So it's not like a, like a full type of class like you've taken with Visionaire or other kind of like intensity and whatnot. So it's a challenge. So I wouldn't compare it to, you know, like in the Dreamwalker classes or in Visionaire or something like that. This is something more for a general audience. Inshallah ta'ala, you still benefit from those things, but I wouldn't compare it to that. It's a challenge. It's not like a full course. Nabila says, is there any fasting involved? No, you can fast if you want. Nobody said you can fast, but that's not what I'm teaching. Rabina's question says, okay. Nabila says, you didn't answer my question. Nabila, post your question again. I don't see it. I see Rabina's question, which is, if all du'as are executed on the night of Qadr, nobody said that all du'as are executed on the night of Qadr, then what happens to all the du'as which are made the rest of the year? Does Allah not decide and execute du'as the rest of the year? No, it doesn't mean that. So I think the first part of your question kind of like answers it. If all du'as are executed on the night of Qadr, that's not true. It's not true. I think what you're who's the question? Yeah, Rubina, I think what you're talking about is when people talk about Laylatul Qadr, they say the decree is sent down for the upcoming year. If nobody said du'as, all the du'as are answered on that. Nobody said that. Wallah. Amani says, just popped here. What are you talking about, if you don't mind me asking? All right, let me say it again. Just kidding. You're gonna have to rewind, Amani, sorry. Nia's question says, I didn't see any information on the site about what time of the day the lives will be. They will be at, if I'm not mistaken, 1 p.m. Eastern time, New York time. 1 p.m. Eastern time, New York time. And Nia says, what sort of time commitment should we expect? So Nia, the thing with the challenge is, it's an attitude. It's not a class, right? So with a challenge, a person is coming into the challenge. They are making a commitment that says, you know what? Like, let me give you an example. if somebody said, hey, I have a, I made dot for weight loss or some health dot in Ramadan, let's suppose something like, let's suppose something like running a marathon, the easy example. And then in this challenge, if you get motivated and taking action, what does it take to run the marathon? You might come out of this challenge saying, hey, if I want to run a marathon, number one, I have to change my attitude. Like, what's my identity? So instead of calling myself lazy and a procrastinator, I want to start adopting an identity of maybe athlete is a little too strong at this point. If the person's calling themselves lazy and procrastinator, they might say my identity is somebody who cares about health, yeah, and cares about fitness. So if they, and I'll show you how to believe or change or get a new identity, that's actually something very critical. And then the action that you want to take is an action that is going to commit you to the future, commit you in the future. Commit you in the future means that just like somebody says, hey, I'll sign up for a personal trainer, or let me sign up for a marathon or a Spartan race or something like that, that's happening 5 months from now. When they take that step, like for example, in the challenge, now they're on track to get that done. And it's become real for them. Like I said, that's an easy example. Not all examples are that easy, but that's what we're talking about when we say challenge. Yes, this is what we're talking about, Nia. So that's why I'm saying that it's not about the 1 hour class that I'm going to be doing. It's a challenge. It's to motivate you to take action and to be with a group of people who are all in that mindset to take action. I believe in Jesus, yes. All right, if there's one last question. Rosita Ma says, can you play at other time where people here on Asia side can watch live on daytime? 1 p.m. New York time is 1 a.m. here. Alaikum assalam, Rosita. So that's the problem with international events, is that any time we choose is going to be bad for somebody. It's going to be bad for somebody. Even actually, I think a good time for New York people is like in the evening, say 8 p.m. But we always make them do their events at 1 a.m., do our events at 1 a.m. so that we can get the UK time to be a normal time, and hopefully other places around the world it can be kind of like normal. So that's why we aim for 1 p.m. New York. All right, folks, that's it. Jazakallah khairan. Check it out. Check it out. The post-Ramadan five-day challenge. The post-Ramadan five-day challenge. It's only $1 to join. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.